Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Jocelyn and Myla on Women's Work Test Run 3. And how are you this morning, Myla?
I'm just wonderful and blessed, Dr. Jocelyn. How are you, my dear?
I am fantastic.
That's good to hear.
It was the last time I checked.
Understood. So what are we doing today? What do you have for us, Doc?
Well, I think you posed a very interesting question. And I just would like for you to set it up so that our listeners can get the gist of what you're asking. And then I'll share my spin on it. How about that?
Okay, absolutely. And before we get into that, do you think we can kind of introduce ourselves to the listener? I'll just say that I'm Myla and that I am a woman of faith. I am a Christian and I am a mother and wife. And I'm here with Dr. Jocelyn to share ways to discuss current issues and using biblical principle in the perspective in order to tackle those issues in order for us to live successful lives.
And I think we need to add to that, that this is a very safe zone for discussion.
Absolutely.
So women will understand that even if they are not of faith, that there should, might be some answers in this for them as well. How about that?
Absolutely. And could you tell the listeners who you are, Dr. Jocelyn?
Oh, okay. I am Jocelyn Drakeford, and I am an educator by profession, a minister by call, and I bring a lot of life experiences as having been married, having been a single parent, and now having wonderful adult children and grandchildren. And I also bring my own life experiences and journey to this platform.
Awesome.
Okay.
So wonderful. So thank you for that. So between the two of us, I think that we could probably offer something to the listener. And just so that the listener understands, as Dr. Jocelyn said, this is a safe space. And we are hoping that you will also add to this discussion by sharing your journey and how applying biblical principles can have helped you become better and more walking more towards the purpose that you have in Christ Jesus. So, Dr. Jocelyn, the topic that I proposed was faith. And yes, it is a very broad topic, as you pointed out. So I just want to set up where I was coming from. Testing of faith is where I was coming from.
Okay.
Testing of faith. Testing, and not in an examination sense, but rather in the trying of its sturdiness in preparation to move us closer to our purpose and the purpose that God has for us. I have to stress that, not just our purpose, because we may feel that we were born to be doctors or lawyers or Indian chiefs, if you will, but it's God's purpose that supersedes all that. And when we are going through a testing of faith, I believe it's a way that God is able to wean away, if you will, those aspects of our lives that are not necessary or that may be hindrances, and strengthen us so that way we may be closer and more prepared to walk in that purpose.
Okay. Myla gave a scriptural reference to this discussion, and I went back to review that passage in order to have a perspective from which to speak. And the passage comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. But before we read that, the actual passage, to keep it in context, this letter that Paul wrote was written to the Corinthians, and the Corinthian church was having some difficulty because they were newly formed. They were very excited about their new lives in Christ. However, they were still babes in Christ. And Paul was addressing some issues that the church was displaying. One, that because they were babes in Christ, that they still had a very worldly concept about what this Christian journey would look like. And they utilized worldly principles. Comment was made prior to the actual scripture reference that stated, I choose to follow Paul and I choose to follow Apollos. And Paul emphasizes that they are mere humans. And so when we look at the passage, and I'll share that with you now, beginning at verse 13, verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. There is a certain progression that Paul is emphasizing here. And as we grow in our understanding of who we are in Christ, and as our spirit man matures within us, the materials that we ultimately should be building with should be gold, because the Spirit will be leading us in that process of building upon the foundation that Christ has laid for us. And the decline in the metals and the precious stones shows that, you know, we start off actually as hay and straw and wood. And so if we don't ever mature past that point of hay or straw or wood, then when our work based on not only our faith, but our work building upon this spiritual platform is tested by fire, then our work would be burnt if we were hay, wood, or in some translations it's called stubble. But the whole progression here is that as we come to rely on the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that we then start producing precious stones, and then we produce silver. And ultimately, as we actually walk in the Spirit day in and day out, our work should be pure gold. And in the fire, these elements will be sustained.
Okay, I love it. I love it. I got it, and I love your explanation of the scripture and tying into the context. I have a question though. What about when you say hay and straw and gold? Can you give us an analogy in terms of how that translates into our lives? What, for example, would be the gold? You said that's one of the materials that we have to be using as we're building. So what would be gold?
Well, the ultimate is we are, as believers, encouraged to walk continually in the Spirit, which means that all of our actions and all of our behavior should be generated from the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Now, we know even if we have been in the faith for a number of years, we're still susceptible to our own human frailties. Mm-hmm. But as we mature in Christ, the hope is that our walk will resemble and be transformed more into that walk that Christ demonstrated on earth. And so as we work towards that, we work out of our worldly attitudes, our worldly behaviors. Typical example. You may be newly saved. You may have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you, prior to your conversion, you spent a lot of time going to happy hour and hanging out at bars, right?
Okay.
And as you grow in knowledge of Christ and who he has called us to be, you might not frequent the bars as often.
Okay.
And you may even get to a point that you don't even go to the bars at all.
Okay.
And that is the progression. God meets us where we are. He meets us in any venue. And the hope is that once we have come to know him and once we have come to accept him, not only as our Savior, but progressively as our Lord, the guiding force of our life, that we will lean to accept what he wants for us as being the best, and our will to do what we feel like we want to do subsides. Does that make sense?
I love that. I love that. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You reminded me, a pastor who once said to the congregation that, you know, if you accept Christ as Lord and Savior and you continue to, you know, for example, go to the bar and things like that, that, you know, you'll still go to heaven, but there's so much more for us. So don't you want
and so when you
what
say
God
that,
has for you?
When you say that, that goes back to this passage that you gave us, which said, if your work is burned up, if you remain hay, wood, or straw, it does not mean that you're not saved and not going to heaven.
Right.
Okay, because it says here, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as one who is escaping through fire. Life will be, you know, life, and will probably have some turmoil to it. You won't lose your eternal life, but you won't have the rewards that you could have had if you had allowed the Spirit to lead your behaviors and your maturity.
Right, right. That's
okay.
The good stuff, Doc. That is good stuff. Yeah, and one of the things that I know was very challenging for me in my walk is And I'm getting better and better every day. Thank you, God, for that.
Yes.
One of the things that was a challenge for me was submission and surrender. That was always a challenge for me because I come from a background of codependency. So in that particular struggle, you know, a person is used to doing things depending upon somebody else's behavior. And then when you start to move through that and above that, you realize that you have to start making decisions, and those decisions are based upon you, not upon somebody else. So to get to that level and then to realize, oh, wait, you are supposed to submit to another will and do things based upon someone else, but that someone else is God the Father, God the Creator. So so it was a challenge. And like I said, I'm learning it more and more every day, but I thank God that I did finally get the message that when you surrender, it's not – it may seem difficult because, you know, we are willful people. Just by nature, the human being is a willful person, a willful entity. And then, but God, when Jesus says in his word, take my yoke upon you, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is so true. Like once you really, 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 really get to the point where it's like, okay, God, you're in control. It's not about me. It's about you. From the major decisions, like where will I buy a home, down to the minor decisions, such as what am I going to wear today?
What will I wear? Right.
Right. It's such a peaceful, peaceful process just to surrender and to just let the Spirit guide you to the point where I believe he wants it, where your will and his will are one and the same. Because it's not really your will, but it's like you want what God wants for you.
God wants for us. But, you know, Paul does a very interesting thing. After he has outlined what the works will look like, he asks a very pertinent question.
Which
in
is?
In the next verse, 16. Do you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? The thing about it is we have to be constantly aware that God lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
And because he lives in us, it should make us realize there's certain things I don't want God to have to experience in me because he's living there.
Right.
For years, I used to smoke, okay? Mm-hmm. And it bothered me because it was like I was inhaling this smoke that was potentially damaging my lungs, but it was also choking his spirit, God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if God was inside of me, then he was having to endure this smoke as well. Because everything that I brought into this temple, my body, also affected his presence.
Right, right. Okay.
And so as we come to love Christ and come to love God more and more, we become mindful that, yes, this temple houses God as well.
Right.
And we should be motivated at that point to provide a respectful temple for him to dwell in.
Gotcha. Yep, I like that.
But that doesn't happen overnight for most people. It's a growth process. And I can remember having cried out to God about smoking because my children didn't want me to smoke. And what they didn't realize, I didn't want to smoke.
Right.
But as I surrendered that addiction to God, he worked it out of my system to the point that I didn't even crave a cigarette. And now I can't even stand to smell the smoke of other people smoking. And so that's a part of how we work from that straw, hay, wood part of that scripture towards that gold part of that scripture.
Right.
And that's an everyday walk, Myla.
Yeah.
That's an everyday walk.
Yeah, excellent example. I like the word that you used. You said constant, that we are constantly in the significance in it is that it's not something, like you said, it doesn't happen, that change doesn't happen overnight for most people. It is something that you strive for, that you are intentionally working towards becoming more and more, how can I say, more like, more Christ-like. You know, I hate to use that term because, you know, it's so open to interpretation, but making your behavior, your attitude, your mindset more in alignment with what God has for you. And you have to intentionally seek that out. You have to get to know God, spend time with him in prayer, spend time learning about the word. Otherwise, you're not really going to know what it is that God wants for you and for your life and his characteristics. So constant is an excellent way to describe that. Thank you for that.
You know, when you said you were talking about us having to or desiring to get to know more about God and more about God's word. You know, oftentimes we avoid getting to know God because we don't want to have to give up the things that we are accustomed to.
Ooh, say that again.
Well, oftentimes we don't venture to get to know more about God's word because we know we intuitively feel that if I really understood what God was saying, that I wouldn't feel comfortable doing what I'm doing. Okay?
Yep.
And so we kind of embrace the ignorance to make us feel better about the things that we want to do, not necessarily need to be doing.
Right.
But that's our way of resisting changing our will to start becoming in line with God's will. You know, because
right.
avoidance of knowing or hearing God's word keeps us in that place where we can justify who we are and what we do. But
right.
intuitively, we must sense that the word of God will change us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And trusting. Going
yeah.
back to faith. You know, faith
yeah.
and, you know, just the simplistic of, but the simpleness of it, the simplistic nature of acknowledging that God is our creator. So if we can look at it as a child and father perspective or a parent and child, when our parents are doing anything for us, we might not understand it at the beginning when we're young and we don't know the ways of the world. But the older we get, the more we know about our parents and parenting and the relationship, the more we can trust and acknowledge, oh, okay, so that's why mommy or daddy did it. And God being the ultimate father, there's nothing that he would withhold from us that is good. So anything that he wants to do for us and in us, we have to trust, just like we trust that we're going to wake up in the next morning, just like we trust the weatherman is going to rain or snow, et cetera. We have to trust that anything and everything that God has for us and that he wants to do in us is going to be good for us.
But Myla, and this is why our show is going to be so important. A lot of our listeners have not had good experiences with their parents.
Okay.
And so we superimpose who our parents are onto
mm-hmm.
who God is.
Mm.
Okay. And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of what we have lived through that may have been painful with our parents, we say, well,
mm-hmm.
if God is my father, is he going to treat me like my earthly father?
Mm.
Or my earthly mother?
Right.
Is he going to abandon me, or is he going to abuse me, or is he going to not be there when I need him to be?
Right.
And so they come into dealing with God with a lot of baggage. But
mm-hmm.
our show will deal with issues, some of the baggage that even as believers, we're still working through.
Right, right.
And still learning how to trust God to fix.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, that's an excellent point. And it goes and ties back into getting to know God, getting to know.
Yes.
So once you again, intentionally, constantly, as you stated, make that decision that I'm going to get to know him and who he is, then there'll be no doubt. There'll be no doubt whatsoever that he is the ultimate father and that he is
yes.
even better than the best parent and the best father on this earth. So, Doc, our show is about to end. I want to thank our listeners for chiming in with us and for giving us some time on this Saturday morning. This is the last of our test run. We are actually going to be launching our show on Saturday, August 19th. From 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So we want you to tell your friends, your sisters, and your brothers to call in, to listen in as we launch A Woman's Work. Doc, do you want to add to that?
Just hope that we will have current issues that we will be addressing. Hopefully we won't have to do series, but we are going to start dealing with the day-to-day, okay? I'm excited.
So am I. Well, thank you, Doc, for your time. Thank you, listeners. So this is Myla and Dr. Jocelyn. Dr. Jocelyn and Myla, we are signing off. Have a blessed weekend, everybody.
Goodbye.